love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and a few things. Something happened. You know, I mentioned that a week ago on Sunday, I did my fairly normal thing, and I stopped by and walked, saw Gary, my friend, the amputee, who is 70 years old. He apparently people who get, I mean, from his information, people who have an amputation like he has, you know, the entire leg's gone. Yeah, I mean, he had like 4 inches, 6 inches of his leg. That was it. So a person like that typically lives maybe 3 years. And he lived seven. Because when I talked with him a week ago Sunday, we talked a little bit more about his death. And I mentioned the first thing he said when I came in, he said he was feeling bad. Do you want me to wear a mask? And I said, of course not. But he talked about things that I found, well, they were interesting. Because yesterday, when I stopped by his place, knocked on the door in the back, which is unusual, and the window was closed. The drapes was closed, unusual, and it was locked. Again, all these things were unusual. And a woman I'm familiar with came to the door with a cell phone in hand. She was talking with somebody and handed me the cell phone immediately. Lynn and Gary were not married in the eyes of the state, but you know they were married. they've been together about 8 years or so, 8-9 years, and Lynn had a daughter who is currently in prison. She was in prison, I think, for some sort of drug charge for many years. She got out on parole and was living with them under the terms of the parole. Then, of course, Lynn died last August. Her name's Ree. She's been living with Gary all this time. But she got caught with a joint. She was smoking pot and got caught with that, and that put her back in prison, which, you know, that whole mess is, that's a mess anyway, but that's not our subject. So she ended up back in prison, just local, and was going to be released in August. But she has formed quite a bond with Gary, because of I think because of the love that Lynn had for Gary, and that became, I think, a significant part of the relationship she had with Gary. So, but she's been in prison. And, walked in and, handed the phone because I was told Gary died this morning. He died in his sleep. And so I'm suddenly handed this phone of this woman. She's late 30s, maybe 40, somewhere in that neighborhood age-wise. And clearly, I didn't see it, but obviously she was very distraught, in tears. And talking to me, and the appeal for help was abundant, because suddenly her contact to the world was gone, and it's fascinating, because you know her lifestyle, the lifestyle of Glenn, Gary, whatnot, just simply I'm not something familiar with. But again, it's that issue of they're human beings created in the image of God. But now I'm dealing with the fact that Gary, who I saw the previous week, is dead, and some extended family was staying there, and they were distraught. Ree is distraught, and I have her on the phone. It's kind of like, what on earth am I doing here? You have to respond in love. As a follower of Christ, we respond in love. So it's not, how do I get out of this, but how do I love well? And I feel really clumsy. So I told them you know, I left contact information to this woman who was there, left the door open. I was actually just there less than an hour ago just to check up on them. I said I would, and I was there, checked up. There were other people there. And apparently the Ree wants to call me directly now, which is kind of like, what am I going to do? Because supposedly, because I talked with another gentleman who has experience with being in prison, and he says, oh yeah, the idea of a furlough for a funeral and so forth, that should happen. But apparently right now it's not. So there are all sorts of issues going on. Which, I mean, this is difficult. But one of the things that I wonder about, when I saw Gary last Sunday and we talked, he, you know, said he was feeling bad and so forth, but he also said the way he's feeling bad, because obviously he had the issue that caused the amputation. He's had open heart surgery and things of that nature, and he knows what blood clots feel like. But again, there's the large blood clots that, you know, are very visible, especially, again, if you do an autopsy, it's kind of, oh, there it is. You don't need any tools. You can see it, obviously. But there's the microclots. And when he was talking to me, he said he feels like he's having blood clots again. And I kept my mouth shut because he's vaccinated. And my thought at that time is that if he has the microclots, this is the last time I'm going to see him. It was the last time I saw him. You know, it's not, yay, I got it right. It's kind of like, this brings it home. You know, it's fascinating. There are now a whole lot of people, a whole lot of the medical community, and they're probably being silenced, saying, we got to stop the vaccination process because it's killing people. And apparently, you know, I haven't done as much study on it, but apparently death from vaccines now has exceeded 1 million people around the world. And, you know, it's the microclots, it's the myocarditis, it is the, and of course, what it causes to the reproductive systems, so it causes abortions and the breakdown of the immune system. So I mean, it's a killer, and it's no longer academic, because now it appears I know a man who died because of the vaccine. I mean, obviously, no autopsy will be done. You know, the clear way to see this is to do a D-dimer test, and that won't be done. So it'll be. He'll go down to natural causes. I mean, because they don't want to inflate vaccine deaths. They want to inflate COVID deaths by doing the PCR test, which again is useless. But they don't want to inflate vaccine deaths. So, but I would suggest, and it's not that the vaccine caused his death, but the vaccine was the last straw on the camel's back, the analogy I use, because it accelerated his death. I would suggest that's true. Anyway, it's I'm struggling now with that. I'm dealing with a family that is very, very much in disarray. The extended family member that I met, when I got there, she was also very much in tears. And so, how do you respond as a follower of Christ? Because it's not, oh, well, if you knew Christ, you wouldn't feel this. No. That's not the way to do that. I'm not there going to, you know, get a conversion. No. I'm going there to love. You know, it's the thing that so fascinated me when I studied the Matthew 25. The separating the sheep and the goats and whatnot, and you know, when I was hungry, you gave me food and so forth, and then those kind of things, and you know, When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer to them, truly I say unto you, as you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And you say, okay, my brothers. All right. There's no evidence that Gary or these people, I'm not the Lord. I'm not the judge here. But I would say there's no overt evidence these people are followers of Christ. I mean, it's just, you know. But then, of course, he gives the opposite. You know, Lord, did we see you, when did we see hungry, thirsty, naked, imprisoned, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer, truly I will say to you, as you did not do it to the least of one of these, you did not do it to me. My brothers isn't in that line. So my contention is, there is the blessing, you did it unto him, because you did it unto one of his brothers, the elect. You didn't do it unto him when you didn't do it to anybody. So I think that I will contend that's what's being said there. So when I go to Lynn, Gary, you know, again, now about a year ago, walked up there, went to visit Lynn and Gary, and Lynn was laying on the floor, and Gary couldn't get her out of the floor. So I went and picked up this woman and put her on a couch. And it was really, really weird. Really weird. Because that wasn't my wife. I think she, well, clearly she's the only one, and she was rather light. But she's the only woman I've ever really, you know, touched in that way. And I was very careful because I could have been, I think I was a little clumsy holding her because I was trying to make sure I touched her appropriately. And I think I was clumsy. And you know, it was weird. And of course, within a few days, she was dead. And now Gary's dead. But anyway, I find that fascinating. But one other thing that I mentioned last week about this one woman who was killed in Israel. And I find it an interesting analogy because one of the big news items is, I think it's Baltimore or something of that nature, where a mass shooting occurred. And I think it was 7 people or whatever died. 11 were shot, 7 died, or something of that nature. I don't know the numbers. And, you know, one person said, well, you know, Republican. you know, white racist and whatnot. Well, he was white and so forth. Yes, he's definitely racist, but it's interesting to look at the evidence. The evidence is he was a leftist, you know, subscribed to communist things, subscribed to right-wing things. His mind was gone. He was mentally deranged because he was on both sides of the fence. He was also had a whole bunch of Nazi stuff and Azov battalion stuff, which interesting timing. So, I mean, the guy was, but you have to blame white supremacists, and you have to blame Republicans. That's you know, the narrative that's being framed. And what's fascinating is the same time that happened, more people were shot in mass shootings in other places, like Chicago. More people died in Chicago that day than in Baltimore. Nothing about that. So it's selective journalism. And I think that's something need to be aware of. When black people kill black people in Chicago, no news. I'm sorry, but those black people in Chicago are just as valuable in the sight of God than the black people in Maryland. Or Baltimore, yeah, Maryland. They have the same value. They're human beings created in the image of God. And because one of the things that really started to concern, I mean, I was concerned about it, didn't say anything about it, but I was concerned in the 90s when the idea of hate crimes started coming up. I said, no, don't go there. Because now I can say your crime is worse. That somehow what you did is worse because we have assigned hate to what you did. Now it's subjective. And now it's political. I'm sorry, the people who died in Chicago need as much respect, as much mourning, as much care, them and their families, even if their families are whatever. It's they have the same value. And it really concerns me, the twisting of the way things are reported. So apply that to, and I don't think my pronunciation will be correct here, but Shireen Akla, whatever. The woman who was shot and killed, and she is a reporter for Al Jazeera, was apparently killed. The evidence continues to point to Israeli soldier. The misinformation that's continued to be pushed by Israel and so forth, but it's gotten worse. And I got some other information which I'm still unclear on, but you know, she works for Al Jazeera, which is sponsored by the government of Qatar. Qatar is overtly Muslim. They're not like Saudi Arabia, where Abu Wahhabism rules the day. So, and there's, because there's a lot of tension between Qatar and Saudi Arabia. There was, you know, almost a war a couple years ago. But so they're radically different, and they are very biased. They're very deceptive, but they're not as they're a little more open to things. For example, women don't have to wear a hijab or things of that nature in Qatar. So they're different, radically different. And women can drive, which is only became a legal in Saudi Arabia, I think in the last year or so, where women can drive. So it's a radically different country. But again, the deception, huge deception. However, they're not lockstep in the news media, because I've seen some things that they do not show the overt. I think it's promotion of power more than the promotion of Islam. I guess that's just an idea to ponder. But apparently Shireen is either Roman Catholic or at least Christian. So, and working for Al Jazeera, which I found fascinating. And she is multilingual, clearly. Because they did air took her last report that she spoke in, I'm guessing it was Arabic, and put the English overlays on it, because the original report was specifically for the Arab audience, or the Palestinian audience. And so they aired that, and they also did, and a few others have done this, they have a video of her funeral at a church. And apparently a Roman Catholic church, and the Roman Catholic community has come out really strong against what Israel did, because the Israeli military or police ransacked the hospital where the body was in, and this was all on video. Ransacked. I mean, they came in force. And, you know, it was inappropriate. And then she was in the casket. People, you know, she was being carried by a group of men carrying her, common in that area. And the Israeli police came with their clubs and started hitting people like crazy. And they said, because their excuse is people were throwing rocks. The people carrying the casket were throwing rocks. They were carrying the casket. They attacked the people carrying the casket. It's all on video. I've seen the video. They attacked the people carrying the casket and said they were throwing rocks. You have to be naive to actually believe that. So I wonder what's going to happen here. Because again, what you see is deception. And it's overt deception. It's the righteous strike that we did in Kabul. And we got caught. The U.S. government got caught. the evidence was overwhelming, and the U.S. government said, well, no, we actually killed 7 kids and 3 adults. No one from an ISIS core zone. So, yeah, we blew it, but we'll let that go. But the person, again, Daniel Hale, who warned us about this, said that we do this, he's in prison today. So a bunch of black people, perhaps they were doing violent things, perhaps they're doing, you know, there may have been things, rough neighborhood and so forth, but they're still human beings created in the image of God, and they were killed this weekend in Chicago. Why don't they have the same value as the people in Baltimore? Why don't we have the same panic? There's a difference in the way we look at things. Why does Israel, the country of Israel, have the right to kill and get away with it? The difference between this one and so many others, because I've looked at some of the others, so many others they get away with. Because again, they have the power. This one, they might not. I really wonder if they might not. Because again, Al Jazeera, we're talking something that the organization, Al Jazeera, and the country will look at this opportunity probably is here's a way to perhaps increase their power, but also to cut the legs out from under the country of Israel. I think they're going to take this opportunity and run with it. It's my guess, and that's only a guess, but I would say an educated guess. But there's one other thing about that. It's we see the U.S. government, we see the U.S. news media, we see the Israeli government. When you have power, you don't have to obey laws, even your own laws. My wife does the same thing. She's no different than what the Israeli government does, what the U.S. government does, the U.S. military, what the U.S. media does. She'll go to the state, you know, get a restraining order. In violation of man's law, she will return stacks and stacks of cards to my kids and to her. In violation of man's law. But that doesn't matter. Because, and you know, it's fascinating. I keep hearing other people say it, and because I've been saying it too. It's the rules for thee and not for me. This is what my wife is living. This is what the country of Israel is doing. This is what the U.S. military does. This is what the U.S. media does. Same thing. It's not what a follower of Christ should do, is it? A follower of Christ acts in love. A follower of Christ, why not rather be wronged than turn to the state, 1 Corinthians 6? That's what a follower of Christ does. I did send my postcard today to Jim Cross out of concern because, you know, again, when the Sunday after I left and walking home after hearing about Gary's death, I couldn't get Jim Cross out of my mind. Why? I don't know. I'm not trying to imply anything in that. But he was very much in my mind. Very much in my mind, and I don't know why. One last thing, because I'll try to be quick. You know me, and quick. I still remain, I think, roughly $1,000 behind, maybe $1,500, whatever, on payments to me. But I did get a payment today, so within the hour, a payment was scheduled to my wife. And, you know, she requires $888 a month to pay for Zadok, Walter, Glory Jane, Susanna, George, Julia, and Tirza. And for anybody who's counting, you might notice that Tirza's been gone for years. And Julia is the mother of two. And I'm paying my wife for her. I've had some difficulties. I did get behind, and I'm paying at a slightly accelerated rate. But still, the whole objective is it's still the $888. And what I have been doing is, when the payments were coming, at a steady rate, I would pay every week $222, four times a month. Sometimes five, actually. Because that gave the $888, and it was a constant cash flow. That was the objective. And then, of course, things happened. For a while there, I was being paid every 2 weeks, so I paid the $444. And then because of the change in terms, I needed to pay $900 and something, but instead of saying $950, whatever it is, I paid $999, anyway. So depending upon how money was coming in, it would be $222, $333, $555, whatever, something of that nature. But as of this week, that's changed. Because one of the amounts I'm going to be using is $519. And this is obviously the appropriate week to do that. Why would I be using $519? $519, May 19th, as in this Thursday. I want to do this, and I'm doing this purposely. The intention is this payment and future payments will be $519 because I want to make it right there in your face, a reminder of May 19th, our anniversary. Yes, this is a statement. Unambiguously, this is a statement. I want to be a constant reminder. On May 19th, 1990, Dorothy and Jane and I became one. And marriage begins with sex and ends with death. But of course, there is the rules for thee and not for me, right? So, my wife should see as a habit. I'll do the 519. Because I want to remind her that she and I are one. And I haven't given up on her. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, the woman I am one with, the woman I really think is cute. I love you and I want you back.